Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, October 27th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here at UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everybody. It is 35 degrees and we have snow on the ground. And a little more than a dusting, kind of that wet, heavy snow, but I'm afraid it's going to be here pretty soon, considering just a few days ago, it was in the 40s and I was seeing lake effect rain. Well, now we're going to be in some freezing temperatures here for the next few days, so let's cross our fingers. So where did we leave off yesterday? We titled the show, Puny Humans Summoning the AI Demon. And yeah, we've been concentrating on AI this week. This is day number 4, I believe. We've done this a few times, but things are moving way faster than what the mainstream is letting on. We listened to a couple interviews the other night by Elon Musk, and Elon had said pretty much what we've been saying on this show, that we have exponential developments happening right now. Technology is creating technology, and in the old days, we had a very mild slope, and it took, you know, 20 years per transition. But we're at that point now, Ray Kurzweil's law of exponential returns, where things are developing way faster than anyone had ever imagined. So out of the blue, right, we're getting hit now. 2016 is all about automation, all about smart automation. You know, the robots have been around for a while, and car manufacturing and that. But we're getting to the point now with things such as Watson, IBM's cognitive computing, they call it, that Watson is able to learn and to draw conclusions, to be able to come up with the best case decision. They've put Watson to work not only in healthcare and oncology, but now we found out that Watson is the back end for that Ross, the robot attorney. We also found out yesterday that there's some new AI that is going to be looking at human rights cases. You know, and we are getting to the point now where, you know, they're really considering how they're going to turn this stuff off, as not only is this starting to be able to reason, to think, to draw conclusions that are, statistically speaking, not swayed by emotions. And I just saw a study on that, and you know, I never grabbed it, but I probably should have. So I'm trying to remember after the show. I'll see if I can pull that maybe for tomorrow. But they had done a study on decision making and looking back at, you know, whether it was a good decision or a bad decision. And they found out that in humans, because of course they have to show that we are imperfect, that humans tend to make bad decisions when they are influenced by their emotions. And, you know, I don't know, I was thinking back through some of the things that I've kind of made hasty decisions on in the past. And typically, I don't know, I think after 4 or 5 years of you guys listening to me on a 5-day-week basis, you probably got a good indication for how my mind works. And I try to be logical about things. I try to look at both sides. I try to distinguish between, you know, the good and the bad ideas. And we've had lots of bad ideas on this show. Like, just all this technology stuff is completely a bad idea, off the cliff, crazy. But, you know, they're going to use that point. Like, for driving, I saw a study for driving that this is going, the self-driving car and all the stuff going on with Elon Musk and the Tesla. And you, I mentioned that that semi-truck in Colorado, a story came out a couple days ago. First self-driving beer delivery truck in Colorado. And they had a guy from the state police, I think they said, was sitting, and you saw him in the picture, sitting in back monitoring how well the truck did. But the truck delivered its first 50,000 beers. I talked yesterday about, you know, all these jobs that this automation you know, like I said, it's not just restaurants or, you know, self-service phone call trees. You know, that was something that we sold way back when I was engineering, were call systems, you know, press one for blah, 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 and making it sound realistic. Like, literally, we had a woman who was voice talent, and she would go record, like, all these statements. So then when my other friend who wrote the software to make those statements, you know, based upon whatever the input was on the phone, would correlate that and then have it spit something back to you and make it sound like voice realistic. Guys, that was back in like the early 2000s, and they'd been doing that stuff for like 30 years already. Maybe not with the voice, like real person voice, but with programmed digital voice, absolutely. So here we are, fast forward. I mean, even from then, fast forward, what, 10, 12 years? And we're at a point where semis are driving themselves. Computers are attorneys and oncology doctors. You know, we have all this military development that's going on for autonomous vehicles as well. You know, we've talked about a lot of the drone technology. I mean, that was a big deal. That was like the one thing we had to worry about. I remember the first time I was on the radio, and that was one of the big things I was talking about, was smart dust and unmanned aerial drones. But we've gotten to the point now, there was a police department in Nebraska, I believe. I wrote a story about it on Antimedia. I've mentioned this before, that inadvertently, and there was some stupid reason as to why this bill got changed a little bit. They changed the wording from whatever the original wording was. But the original wording said that if they had unmanned aerial drones, they would not be armed. And the way the bill, when it went through the legislature, got reworded, it actually left the door open. Oh, I think they said it was, they were allowed to be equipped with weapons such as non-lethal or something, meaning that, you know, they could put tasers on them, let's say. But what it actually did, according to the law, once it got passed, was it opened the door for arming unmanned aerial drones. Well, I just saw a story. Let me see. Here we go. This is out of JG Vibes Free Thought Project. Claire Burnesh is also writing over there now. And this happens to be by JG Vibes, or John Vibes. He calls himself, or an author. Self-flying drones equipped with tasers coming soon to a police department near you. October 23rd, 2016. You know it was coming, people. You know, this was on the plate. And once they set a precedent, it's on. And as they're getting ready now to roll out commercial drones as well, and that whole new air traffic control system, Verizon and NASA and 14, I believe, other companies that are going to be on board with all that, they're going to be, it's not going to be too long before we start hearing bzz, 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 flying around and delivering packages. You got Amazon, you got Walmart. You know, there were a lot of big groups that were already looking. Pizza delivery. I'd always joke that would be the one way that I'd maybe open my arms a little bit to unmanned aerial drones at 3 a.m. delivering a hot pizza. But I mean, for God's sakes, they even have pizza kiosks now that they can park on a street corner, and it can robotically make you fresh made pizza at the touch of a button, kneading the dough and putting on the sauce. No pizza guy needed for $9 an hour. You know, we talked about the robots are going to take all the jobs. Well, not only are the robots going to take all the jobs, but one of those jobs is going to be to augment our national security. You know, the police department, through that 1033 program, has direct access to military technologies. So as this is all militarizing and now becoming automated and like a big video game for everybody, because remember, those same kids that go into the service are the ones that get out of the service or maybe don't go into the service at all and become police officers. You know, so they had to make sure that that skill of joystick wielding I mean, these, I don't know if these ones they're talking about necessarily are autonomous, but what difference does it make? The spokesperson for, I don't even know if it says for the spokesperson. In Dallas, in Dallas. Remember that they sent the little robot in and they got the guy that was holding hostages or something. The spokesperson said that the new project was inspired by the standoff in Dallas earlier this year where police used a robot to kill a suspect who had shot at police. Not only will these drones be equipped with tasers, but there is also talk of them being, autonomous. Meaning that an actual human won't necessarily be needed to fly the drone. One can certainly imagine high-risk scenarios such as a terrorist barricade where such a capability would allow public safety officers to more rapidly incapacitate a threat. Ding. So, you know, who's diagnosing a quote-unquote threat, by the way? Remember, it might be some terrorist barricading themselves somewhere today, but tomorrow it's going to be you labeled as a divergent. Anyone saw that series? I ran across one of them on a special open weekend for, I don't know, one of the movie channels or whatever. But it was really good, and it was all about this caste society of the future where people are born and bred into a certain type of you know, skill set, let's say, based upon your genetics. You know, you're of this stock, but, you know, you can move outside of that, but it's looked down upon and you get it much harder. You're discriminated against. And I really see that something like that in the future is coming. You know, we had kind of talked about, I mentioned yesterday that there was a technology out there that allowed them to look at your face and determine whether or not you, genetically speaking, had a preponderance for crime here. And I found a story, and this wasn't the original one I read, but this was pretty good. This is out of Israel21c.org. So 21st century Israel, I guess, has a website. Terrorist or criminal? New software uses face analysis to find out. The Israeli company Faceception says that its facial analysis technology will be used by, quote, a leading homeland security agency, unquote. Well, pulling a poker face means betraying no visible emotion, so that opponents can't tell what you're really thinking, but a Tel Aviv startup's face profiling technology recently proved fairly accurate at predicting which four players were most likely to beat out 46 other contenders in an amateur poker tournament. And two of those four were among the event's three finalists. And now the company reports that it has signed a contract with an unnamed, quote, leading homeland security agency to help, and here we go, identify terrorists through its technology, which analyzes faces shown in photos and videos and classifies them according to 15 parameters predictive, ding, 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 of personality traits and types. Purportedly, it can detect with high accuracy if you are, say, a genius, an extrovert, or a criminal. I mean, can you even believe this? But this is the exact technology, because wait, it gets even better. We understand the human much better than other humans understand each other, Faceception CEO Ashali Gilboa told the Washington Post. Our personality is determined by our DNA and reflected in our faces. It is a kind of signal. This is unbelievable. So this has gone way beyond facial recognition. There's just a story out maybe a week or so ago that out of all the facial recognition scans that they have in the police shared database right now, there's a really good chance that a good majority of those faces are people like you and me who never did anything, but somehow got swept up in something because of, you know, sweeping surveillance or whatever. Maybe you had someone on your friends list somewhere that, I mean, you didn't even know, really. You only spoke to them once, but you got tagged because of that. And so they got some data on you. Remember, probably every single one of us has some sort of dossier living in a supercomputer cloud shared database somewhere. Anyway, let's get back to this facial characteristic recognition. So a genius, an extrovert, or a criminal. Like, so geniuses are going to be targeted. People who are outgoing are going to be targeted. Criminals are going to be targeted. I mean, you already are in a database somewhere if you've ever been arrested. Gilboa in said Faceception evaluates faces with an 80% accuracy for certain traits. And utilizing advanced machine learning techniques, ding, 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 we developed and continue to evolve an array of classifiers. These classifiers represent a certain persona with a unique personality type, a collection of personality traits or behaviors, and our algorithms, ding, can score an individual according to their fit to these classifiers. Unfortunately, we can score facial images on a set of classifiers and provide our clients with a better understanding of their customers, the people in front of them, or in front of their camera. Faceception is offering the software as one tool among many, oh yes, that governments can use in what? Oh, the global war on terror. Unlike facial recognition technology, which relies on matching faces to those already in a database, ding, facial profiling relies on scientific studies suggesting that personality is determined by DNA. Ding. So make sure you go get your 23andMe swab to find out where Nana came from. Because that isn't what's going to be happening with it. I could guarantee you that. But facial profiling relies on scientific studies suggesting that personality is determined by DNA and reflected in the face. Therefore, it can pinpoint potentially problematic people. Oh, you resistant consumer divergent people, you. And not eating it up, staring and drooling into space. No, not you. The other people, the people who look like they're not buying it, those people who look twitchy. Remember that list that they put out back 4 years ago for the airports to be able to identify terrorists? They had that list of words and they had all those lists of things like you were sweaty or looking at your watch or twitchy, wearing a hoodie. I mean, this is to the point of absolute, this is Orwellian to the most nightmarish end. And it's going to get, wait till we get to the end of the show. I'm making good time. I found some stuff. I started digging into something I've had sitting on my desktop for a while, and I plugged in a few searches and I was like, what? I found some stuff that is just going to make all your hair raise at the back of your neck. All right. So anyway, so it's all going to be for the war on terror. Of course, it all has been for the war on terror. They have gotten some good mileage out of that one. But unlike facial recognition technology relies on faces already in a database, yes, this profiles you based upon studies that show your DNA has something to do with personality traits reflected in your face, and it can find the problematic people not previously known to authorities. So there's going to be a brand new list. Only 3 of the 11 terrorists behind the November 2015 terror attack in Paris had criminal records. And Gilboa points out in a video about Faceception that, you know, our technology classified 9 of them out of the 11 as potential terrorists with no prior knowledge about them. Despite, or perhaps because of, the ethical controversy raised by its proprietary computer vision and machine learning technology. Remember we talked about VPUs, that vision processing unit? Well, apparently, don't worry about it. No. Because it doesn't seem like they've made a lot of progress now, has it? I mean, come on. We found out about that DARPA Argus drone. Oh, this had to be at least a year, maybe 2 years ago, that was like a 1.8 gigapixel from the upper atmosphere. And this sounds like they're just analyzing from any incoming feed. I mean, surveillance is ubiquitous now, and it's so ubiquitous that we don't even think about it anymore. It's been put right into our psyches and completely been integrated into our lives. So this company, Faceception, was founded in 2014, and they were a finalist in the LDV Vision Summit 2016 on May 25th in New York City. So this was just this May, but they were founded in 2014, so they're not very old. An alumnus of the 500 Startup Accelerator in San Francisco, Faceception is now a member of SOSA Innovators Community in South Tel Aviv. Banks and marketeers are among the other professionals who might want Faceception's methodology and find it valuable. Yeah, so they're going to be like scanning you, walking down the street, finding out if you're a good self or whatever. If you could be a potential terrorist walking into a bank. Like, are you kidding me? Think about all the back-end stats that would be happening there as they're profiling you and you go and take out, you know, a chunk of change. They're going to be going, ding, red list for today. You're going to end up with some little wireless sensor stuck under your car for $29.95. I just saw those online being advertised to me on Facebook, these little wireless tracking sensors for cars for $30. You know, have someone tailing you and grabbing your IP address to monitor everything for the next, you know, to 14 days to see what happens. It's very, very frightening. Why aren't people like seeing the absolute in-your-face reality? And I mean, this is about ready to roll out. Of course, they said, you know, quote unquote, a Homeland Security division. They're not going to say where. Well, this is probably ours, don't you think? I don't know. Maybe it's one of the other countries that are, you know, all hot on surveillance, but which is probably most of them now. But you know, how long is it going to be before it's $29.95 a month? This offer is a service. We'll host it in the cloud. Sign up for your Faceception. You know, 30 days for free. We'll tell you whether or not. We'll check it against the database. It's baffling to me that this is the future we're leaving your children. Gilboa said that he and his team believe that their technology represents a multi-billion dollar opportunity. So if you're a gambling person, get in on the stock market. I don't know if they're public or not. Faceception's website describes the team as including, quote, world-class experts in the areas of computer vision, face analysis, machine learning, psychology, technology, and marketing. Oh, my God. This sounds like Bernays's wet dream in the 21st century. Oh my God. So I think we all need to wear burkas personally, or like something. This is crazy. Somebody needs to come up with a hat. I remember at one point there was a hat that had some sort of like a UV or something bloop, bloop, that went down in front of your face, maybe a little laser LED light. But it like blurred your face to cameras. There's got to be something like that. This, you know, it doesn't matter if you did something or you didn't. This is wrong to be able to like, what do you think all these projects are for? All this stuff we've been talking about, this brain, you know, brain initiative and, you know, all this healthcare, longevity, medicine to live forever. And, oh, let's learn how the cells work together and, you know, microbiome and all these secrets that have been locked up of biology and how it works. And oh, look, it's like almost a biological computer. Well, let's start making synthetic shit now and making it into a programmable computer. I mean, we've gotten to this point where life And everything that was private to us, everything that it meant to be alive, all the joys that we had in those private little moments where we got to like be us, is about to end. We can't be us anymore. If being us means that being different, I've prided myself my whole life on being different. And not being different for, you know, like the trendy idiot who is different and wears ripped up jeans or whatever because it's cool. Being different because I can't fit into that square peg hole. Okay, I just don't. I got a couple little pokey points on me that, you know, they give me pleasure. And if they give me pleasure, well, there aren't too many things in life that give you pleasure. And if you find artistic means or, you know, things that don't hurt anybody, things that are not being selfish, that actually are enlightening, that open your brain and your heart to understand things better, then there should be nothing wrong with that. And to make that something that if I'm out doing something crazy that doesn't hurt anybody, that maybe is like on my bucket list to do, that could potentially get me bagged and tagged as a future bad person. I mean, this is just, I can't even get over how far things have literally come. So anyway, last paragraph here, I give a mission statement. Our mission is to revolutionize how companies, organizations, and yes, of course, even robots understand people to dramatically improve public safety, communications, decision making, and experiences. Wow. How great is that? You know, and this coming out of Tel Aviv, a company out of Tel Aviv, just as another story came out 3 days ago from RT News. Israel refuses to sign the U.S. document regulating export of killer drones. What? Yes. Israel is reportedly refusing to sign a U.S. document on the use and export, guidelining the use and export of armed drones, fearing it would hurt its defense industry. The U.S. State Department paper aims to establish international standards in the production and the selling of UAVs. The one-page document titled, quote, Joint Declaration for the Export and Subsequent Use of Armed or Strike-Enabled Unmanned Aerial Vehicles covers a number of topics regarding the selling and usage of drone systems, according to the Defense News. Those topics include applying international law and human rights. Yeah, like, come on. Like, we're the pot calling the kettle black here. Oh, yes, all those human rights and international laws. Oh, was that a funeral procession? Oh, was that a wedding party? I mean, was that a hospital? Are you kidding me? This just, you know, when anyone who looks back on this history as it's written in the annals of history, are going to be like, how did this happen? How did this happen? Look, the book said that the U.S. was just trying to rid the world of this plague called terror. And the real story won't be told. Remember, the victors always write history in their vision. So this is just disgusting. So we're like calling the pot. We're calling the kettle black here. Except we're all criminals. We're not. They are. Both countries are participating in the complete genocide of Earth 1.0. Everything that we knew and loved is about ready to turn on its head. This is just another one of those spokes in that multifaceted serpent's head that's getting its slimy tentacles into every single bit of our existence. And they're about ready to push that button. This election is really a monumental moment for them. Obama lined up all of the dominoes that needed to go on the table. He passed all those executive orders and got the bills running and passed the laws. Obamacare's all in place and supercomputing, brain initiative, the genome project. They got the synthetic genome for humans going on now. CRISPR and people. It's all ready to rock and roll. And now we have autonomous killer drones. We're not going to sign anything because you know what? It's all in the name of warfare. Well, speaking of being in the name of warfare, Atlas, October 20th, 2016. Atlas got to go to the White House. And, you know, it doesn't say when this actual photograph is from, but the story is from October 20th, 2016. RT News again. The U.S. Army will have more, talking about robots taking all the jobs, more combat robots than human soldiers by 2025, says a former British spy. Now, we've been talking about combat robots for a long time, and a lot of those companies that were developing things for the DoD, of course, got purchased by Google. Boston Dynamics. Google has been trying to figure out what to do with Boston Dynamics for a while, and they were going to sell them off to a few different places. I don't know if that's happened or if they've had a change of heart. But there's a photograph of Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel standing off to the left, and it looks like a boardroom or something. And someone who originally, when I saw this picture, I thought it was Bibi Netanyahu on the right side of the room, but it isn't Bibi Netanyahu based upon the subheading to this picture. It says U.S. Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel left is briefed by Brad Toolsy, and if you want to see what he looks like, go to Toolsley, Brad Toolsy, on the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency's Atlas robot at the Pentagon in Washington. Oh, so that's where this is. It's the Pentagon. I thought it was the White House. But hey, same difference. The U.S. Army will have more combat robots than it will humans by 2025, says former U.K. intelligence officer John Bassett to officials at a counterterrorism meeting in London, according to media reports. Bassett, who is now a security consultant with a 20-year career in GCHQ, spoke about U.S. attempts to employ thousands of robots in a matter of years as it tries to stay ahead of the curve. Now, if you remember, Obama, if I am not mistaken, is the one that started calling back a lot of troops and reducing the recruitment numbers. And I know some military people, and they were crying about how this was unsustainable, that he was drawing back these numbers and ever expanding our footprint of war. Well, how are they going to get around that? Well, technology, right? We're going to have all these unmanned aerial vehicles. They already got that. Blowing up things that, whoops, accidentally, or spying on things or whatever. I mean, that's not a surprise anymore. But beyond that, they have had some super soldier programs, these brain implant things, be able to manipulate different brain chemicals. They got VR goggles that are about ready to roll out here with full-blown terabit a second 3D VR. We saw something about that. We were looking at that millimeter wave, and you know, there's all kinds of new technologies coming out that are going to be built upon that millimeter wave because it's high bandwidth and they can stream it to a multitude of devices. But their hope is with that and the 5G, they're going to be able to get the super network that is ubiquitous everywhere, flying in the upper atmosphere, that'll be able to connect not only your refrigerator and your toilet and your car, you know, your smart devices, soon your Levi's jacket or your jeans, your sneakers, we found out Under Armour and IBM, your underwear, and all of your intelligent robotic weapons. I mean, this is nuts. It says, in March 2016, DARPA beefed up its U.S. underwater warfare capabilities with an autonomous state-of-the-art, yes, we talked about the mothership drone, designed for things like hunting down enemy submarines. And if I'm not mistaken, that is the same ship that they were going to load its belly with little unmanned underwater autonomous drones as well, so they could patrol the ocean depths and they could be deployed at a moment's notice to any place that they are needed. In the same vein, Boeing back in May launched an unmanned submarine that would engage in both exploratory missions and warfare. So maybe that was the Boeing submarine. That was the mothership with all the little tentacled unmanned underwater vehicles in its belly like a spider launching its egg sac. And it's horrifying. Remember, a good majority of the ocean has never been explored. There's going to be lots of riches down there, I'm sure. And they might even find some sort of weird Atlantean creature, for all we know. I mean, who knows if they are living with some sort of shield that we can't visibly see, maybe in the ultraviolet range or microwave range. They could be going in and out of the atmosphere from underwater, you know, high pressure, no oxygen environment, just like outer space somewhere. You know, I'm not saying it's beyond the capabilities of some civilization that might be more futuristic, but it makes you wonder why we are taking over the ocean floors. I mean, this is just horrifying. And then what are they going to do? Put synthetic biology everywhere to fix it up because the oceans are dying? And this is the ship sinking. It's taking over every bit of the planet. The virus has been released. And this is just the beginning. It's unreal. Anyway, so Boeing in May launched an unmanned submarine that would engage in both exploratory missions and warfare. And the trend of a crewless ship isn't even strictly a military one anymore. Rolls-Royce in June announced plans for, quote-unquote, ghost ships that would carry cargo and be implemented specifically in trade. Intelligent robotic weapons, they're a reality, and they will be much more of a reality by 2030, says Bassett. And at some point around 2025 or thereabouts, the U.S. Army will actually have more combat robots than it will have human soldiers. You know, that's 9 years from now, 2025. It is, right? 9 years from now. He added, mentioning an upcoming robot trucks, which we just talked about, the 50,000 beers, what a great way to sell it to us. Just like the little nanorobot doctors in your bloodstream are going to cure the big C. Step right up. Well, the upcoming robot trucks that would drive themselves and be more effective on the road than just an ordinary manned vehicle. That's all going to be controlled from this grid. But some of them are rather more exciting than trucks. We will see in the West combat robots outnumbering human soldiers. It remains to be seen, but if the current submarine hunting ship is indeed good at tracking down enemy vessels, some major money could be saved and loss of life avoided. Bassett also recounted progress made in the sphere of AI, professing that artificial intelligence, robotics in general, and those will begin to mesh together. Transhumanists have been particularly vocal about the benefits of employing robot help. Among them, U.S. presidential candidate, or hopeful, remember, he was saying he was a candidate at one point, but I guess he never did it, Zoltan Isfahan, also a journalist and a transhumanist philosopher and futurist. He believes that they'll be fit for combat duties in the next 10 years and bets that, quote, there won't be any deaths of U.S. soldiers in the war zones. But there will still probably be special forces, but even they are going to have to be replaced at some point. Ding! However, Isfahan is wary of fusing combat robots with AI. Elon Musk summoning the demon. Also, Stephen Hawking, who just opened his AI institute. And then, of course, Billy Gay's coming up the rear going, oh, yeah, no, it's not a good idea. Nope, nope. Photo op. But he believes, Istvan, in this case, that machines controlling machines opens up the potential for an uprising. Da-da-da-da-da-da-ding. This is not too unlike what Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak has been saying, along with Tesla and SpaceX's Elon Musk, Stephen Hawking, and other luminaries, that they also believe a global AI arms race is underway and claim that technology has become too advanced for humans to control, particularly with the robot's ability to learn. Remember, we also read about not only for robots to learn, but cloud learning. So one learns and the million learn. I mean, guys, this is insane. And I'm going to tell you what else here. I don't know if I have time to get into the Squad X experimentation program, but this is talking about exactly what we've been saying. 21st century upgrade to the military, rifle squads in the 21st century, and they're going to be able to connect with wireless connectivity and be able to plan missions on the fly. Squad X seeks to enable the humans in the squad. Notice they call them humans, like as versus the robots we just found out. And in this picture that I'm looking at, there's a drone flying in the sky. Actually, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 of them doing, I don't know, beaming. Something's beaming out and some of the others are beaming down. There is a big dog coming up the rear. Remember, that's another DARPA robot. And then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Tactical people with some sort of high-tech rifle, headgear, little eyeglass, all standing around in different positions in a city. Okay. It's in a regular-looking USA city. Maybe Detroit, something. There's no people on the streets. Squad X seeks to enable the humans in the squad. And this is a DARPA presentation, by the way, from DARPA.mil. To be increasingly effective in future complex and uncertain environments. They are looking to design, develop, and validate system prototypes for combined armed squad and overmatch adversaries through the synchronization of fire and maneuver in the physical, the electromagnetic spectrum, and in the cyber domains. But wait, because somewhere in here, I had actually pulled a screenshot of one of these. They're showing the squad autonomy, which is great. It says enable a rifle squad to move their individual and collective localization accuracy to less than 6 meters in a GPS-denied environment through collaboration with unmanned systems, maneuvering reliability in squad formations. And this, of course, some of the autonomy performing teams, a company named Soar Tech from the University of Michigan, Leidos, L-E-I-D-O-S, and this is from Auburn University, and then, of course, Raytheon. Yeah, but wait, come on, come on. I want to go down through here because there's something about the Squad X experimental program. Here it is, a multi-domain operational environment. The very first picture is, it looks like maybe India, New Delhi, or maybe out in the markets in China. They got a little minibus and lots of people walking through the crowded streets with little markets and umbrellas and things. One woman's got a basket. So they want to develop this for, one, a multi-domain environment, one, among the people. Yes, so it can walk among the people in crowds in crowded cities. Number two, there is an aerial shot of a city landscape, and it says complex urban terrains as well. So big dog, yeah, unmanned aerial drones, and guys with high-tech headgear and rifles. And, of course, number three, it looks like you're in a cave, underground or indoor environments. These Department of Defense DARPA Project Squad X squads will operate machinery where an adversary can readily exploit the physical, electromagnetic spectrum, and cyberspace domains for movement. So remember, that millimeter wave could see through walls and roofs. I told you guys, it is like, it's over. You won't be able to hide anywhere, even below ground, because that's one of the targeted areas. Or in the city, or among the people, because they're going to find you. But they're going to go after the physical, the electromagnetic, and cyberspace domains for movement and communications. And in an increasingly connected global society that requires precise operations in all domains. Now, so they're rolling out all these autonomous robots and replacing large amounts of squads. They also have autonomous vehicles. I saw something that looked like some sort of ruggedized ATV, and I'm going to guess this is probably that one from Polaris. It does look very Polaris-like for the drawing, for the headlights and stuff. It looks like one of their sport vehicles, though, not the utility. But this Polaris-looking ATV, two-person ATV with roll bars on it, so almost like a dune buggy type. I believe they were talking about making those autonomous as well, but I saw not too long back, maybe a year and a half ago, that they had inked a contract with DARPA, which was pretty interesting. So, all right, let's stop for a minute now. So we know that we have all these robots going. We have DARPA working on all kinds of insane technologies. We have the merging of technology and biology, and not just with the autonomy in the thinking and learning capabilities, but also in CRISPRing and genetic engineering, and being able to crack all the secrets of what makes things alive. Well, here's one for you. Out of the annals of Wired.com. This is in their archives. It was from December 15th, 2004. And the reason I'm going to read this is because it was 2004, number one, 12 long years ago in long years in the history of technology. Remember how fast things have been moving. But also to establish the fact that in 2004, they already had these capabilities, and they even talk about how people have been working on this for quite a while. EcoBot, they are calling it EcoBot. EcoBot eats dead flies for fuel. Yes, dead flies. Robots walk, robots talk, and soon robots will eat too. Researchers at the University of West of England, Bristol, are working on creating autonomous robots that will power themselves using substances found in the environment. Professor Chris Minchaw and John Greenman plan to give their robots their very own guts, artificial digestive systems, and the corresponding metabolisms that will allow robots to digest food. Doing away with solar cells and batteries, their robot, EcoBot 2, has a stomach consisting of 8 microbial fuel cells, or MFC for short. And listen to this. So these 8 microbial fuel cells contain bacteria that was harvested from sewage sludge. Listen to what they did. They harvested sewage sludge. They took our microbiome out of the sewer system and they put it into 8 microbial fuel cells. So the microbes that they gain from the sewage sludge break down the food into sugars and they convert this biochemical energy into electricity that powers the robot. They've made a fully, I mean, it's insane. This is like a fully natural digestive system with bacteria breaking down the food and a type of robotic respiration in which air provides oxygen to the fuel cells to create useful energy. The whole system mimics real digestion as closely as possible. Currently being fed a diet of flies and rotten apples. Yes, the robot isn't one for speed, though. EcoBot 2 can crawl along at a top speed of 2 to 4 centimeters every 15 minutes, fueled by 8 flies. 8 flies that are fed directly into the microbial fuel cells. People have built these things before, but this is the first robot that actually uses unrefined food. Earlier efforts of creating a robot that could ingest food included GastroBot, developed by Stuart Wilkinson at the University of Florida, dubbed Choo Choo, like the train. The train-like bot was hand-fed a diet of pure sugar cubes. And an earlier version of EcoBot was also powered by sugar, but the team developed the fly-eating version to simulate conditions found in nature. So this opens up a whole new range of possibilities. You could take the robot and nail it to a tree and still be able to get flies or food to it, or have it use tree sap, maple syrup, and all the rest. You might get tree sap to run into it, and so you could sense all kinds of things, pollution, temperature, have some that work in the water. Ultimately, the goal is to create a robot that can effectively operate for years without any human intervention, able to feed and keep itself going on all fronts. Plans include making the robot smaller, improving the fuel cell efficiency in terms of power level and longevity, and engineering the microbial fuel cell system so that it more closely imitates the gut. With artificial digestive systems specially designed to exploit any organic food source, any organic food source on land or sea, future robots could be herbivores or omnivores, working both on land and underwater. It's like the very first petrol engine that was ever invented. If you compare the power output from the first petrol engine compared with the Formula One racing engine that they have nowadays, they are 100, if not 1,000 times more powerful, and it's the same sort of thing. Hopefully, we'll be able to improve the power output to at least 5 or 10 times so we'll have something that is moving all the time. We are right at the beginning, like I said, of a new idea and a new technology. Yes, guys. Yes, yes, yes. Well, if anyone remembers, there was a story. So that story was from 2004. There was a story that came out in 2009. And I think this is where we are going to try to finish this one up today and pick it up tomorrow for Friday. This was July of 2009. Also out of Wired, but not in the archives. This was still in the live files. Military researchers, and that would be DARPA, develop a corpse-eating robot. Oh! Was that that biological material that they were talking about? Could be. Military robots from the file marked, quote, evidently many scientists have never even seen one scary science fiction movie. The Defense Department is funding research into battlefield robots that power themselves by eating human corpses. What could possibly go wrong? Now, when we start thinking about how robots are going to take all the jobs and how they're talking about a universal basic income and how there's probably going to be all kinds of unrest because of, oh no, climate change. We're going to have all these mega disasters and horrible things going on that need to be cleaned up. And, you know, we even talked about that. I don't remember whose robot it was. I think it was Valkyrie and NASA. They were having a Valkyrie 2 developed to do one of two things. To deploy to Mars, to set up the first colonies and get the power cells set up. And number two, to respond in the event of some sort of national disaster, like with FEMA or Homeland Security, to be able to help build some temporary shelters for poor homeless people who were in the wake of the natural disaster, and to potentially quell unrest. Well, what could possibly go wrong? Now we have autonomous robots that are going to power themselves with just the leftover foraging. Yes, foraging. Organic material in the environment. And since these scientists don't own TV or DVD players, researchers at the Robotic Technology Group say that robots will collect organic matter, which could include human corpses, to use for fuel. But if you pick up anything on flesh-eating robots over the years, you know that they'll ignore that tasty soybean field and make a chow line right to the nearest dead body. And if the machine cannot find enough dead people to eat, ha-ha, they can always make new ones. And that sure could be true. Researchers seem to get a kick out of ensuring the demise of the human species, and I would have to second that opinion. So the project is called the Energetically Autonomous Tactical Robot, or more affectionately known as EATER. E-A-T-R, Energetically Autonomous Tactical Robot. Wired.com readers looking to save time and trouble are invited to begin marinating themselves in a mix of 10WD-30 and Heinz 57 sauce immediately. All right, guys. Well, that's about it for today. We will continue there tomorrow. Make sure you stick around. Another interview with Drew from St. Louis. On the St. Louis disaster, Drew is going to be coming on board with UCY hopefully soon. I got to catch up with him today and all kinds of great radio tonight. All right, guys, have an awesome Thursday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody, take care.